Thank you, Lori, and good afternoon, everyone. Hopefully, this presentation doesn't look familiar to anyone. If it does, you should run away. I spoke at the Sunday workshop, and we had a great discussion about PFAS Sunday. So I'll just kind of breeze through some of the background for PFAS for anybody who wasn't there on Sunday, and apologies for any duplication. Yes, I am Stephanie Kuhn. I work for the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, and in Colorado we had a situation in the security wide field area where we found these perfluoral alkyl substances, which I will call PFAS from here forward. So how we found these is through something called the EPA Unregulated Contaminant Monitoring Rule, and I'll mention to you what that is. I'll also talk to you a little bit about what an EPA health advisory is. What happened in Colorado? What did the Colorado Tracking Program, which we're one of the funded states through the National Center for Environmental Health Tracking Program, so what did we do and what lessons did we learn? As I mentioned, the Unregulated Contaminant Monitoring Rule was really what precipitated this whole story. And so the EPA has this is the third round of a list of unregulated contaminants that are monitored for, even though they don't have a regulation or a standard that goes with them. So this last time, the third list collected information on specific VOCs, 1,4-dioxane, different PFAS, chlorate, specific metals, including chromium-6, and all water systems serving greater than 100,000 people, 100,000 participate in doing the assessment monitoring. This sampling was conducted from 2013 to 2015, and results were subsequently published on EPA's website. I think it was early January 2016 that they were published. So the PFAS that were included in the UCMR were those listed here. I'm not going to read them to you, but they all have their nice acronyms. And we found all but one of these in the water in Colorado. A little bit later in the presentation, I'll show you the results, the levels that we found these in. So some of you may not know what are perfluorinated compounds, or PFAS. These are human-made chemicals which contain carbon-fluorine bonds and have heat and stain-resistant properties. They're really slick, literally and figuratively. They do what they're designed to do. So you think about something like Teflon pans, nonstick surface. Those have PFAS properties in them. And then things like your furniture, your carpets, anything that you don't want to stain or have either oil or water absorb into could have these chemicals. Even some food packaging has this property, these properties in it, because it makes things not stick. So it does what it's supposed to do. One of the sort of more industrial uses of these compounds is in firefighting foams, which are used both at normal firefighting training facilities and also Air Force bases. And we do have one of those in Colorado, so that's where our story is going. So what are the PFAS potential health effects? There are many more than are listed here on this slide, but some of them are that the PFAS have very long half-lives, and there's potential for bioaccumulation in humans. So once these get into your system, there is a potential for chronic exposure. They have been known to increase cholesterol, liver enzymes, blood uric acid levels, and have some developmental effects, including low birth weight, delayed puberty, skeletal ossification, thyroid disease, immune system suppression, and even some forms of cancer. So what is an EPA health advisory? This is a non-regulatory technical guidance given by EPA for drinking water concentrations for a contaminant that does not have a maximum contaminant limit, or an MCL. So when the health advisory level is exceeded, again, this is non-regulatory, so the water systems should notify state regulators. They the water systems or public health should notify the affected public, including health information that's pertinent to the substance found. And water systems should take steps to reduce levels in water. That's what should happen. So for the EPA's PFAS health advisories, there were a couple of different limits. In 2009, there were these provisional health advisory limits for both PFOA and PFOS at 400 parts per trillion or 200 parts per trillion, respectively. But then in May of 2016, they came out with a newer health advisory. This was based on some research done on developmental effects, and they decreased the health advisory limit significantly. So now, for a combined PFOA and PFOS concentrations, the health advisory limit was now 70. And in Colorado, what we did was a little more conservative, a little more protective. We thought that the PFHPA compounds were similar enough, and there was enough research out there that we also lumped them in with the other two. So as a cumulative total in Colorado, we're recommending that the health advisory limit is less than 70 for those three compounds combined. So what happened in Colorado? Just to orient you, this is Colorado Springs in the upper left. This is one of our more southern central towns in Colorado along the I-25 corridor, which runs north and south through the state. And based on the unregulated contaminant monitoring rule sampling, source wells at three large public drinking water supplies were found to be contaminated with different PFAS. And in further investigation, when we found out about these three larger systems, we also looked at seven small public systems and 87 private wells that were not participating in the UMCR because of their size. And we did find PFAS. So, again, just to orient, this yellow area here is sort of the area of investigation. It follows the blue line, which is Fountain Creek, starting up at the top left or northwest. And flowing downstream to Fountain, Colorado. The measured concentrations that were found were relatively high, especially given that the 2016 health advisory limits are now 70 parts per trillion. So just about everything exceeded those health advisory limits, except for the one substance that's missing from this list. If anybody can shout it out, the extra points. So, as many of you probably know, if you've dealt with water systems before, they are complicated. In Colorado, especially any other western states, water is scarce. It's expensive. They oftentimes supply water with a mixture of groundwater and surface water, and there could be multiple source wells. So there's a lot of mixing of different sources of water through these distribution systems. And the composition depends on a lot of different things, seasonality, availability, the price of water, and demand. So it's a very complicated system, and when we found that these PFCs were present in the water systems, we really had to look into all these different areas to figure out what was going on. We knew that approximately 70,000 people were on these three large public water systems, and an additional 500 were on private wells that could be affected. We also knew that there were a number of retail food establishments and small farming and ranching operations that were using this water to irrigate things like produce. So what did we do? Well, first of all, we were asked to serve as a health expert in different stakeholder meetings with these water systems. We were also called upon to do some studies with existing data, with data that we had readily available. So I mentioned earlier that health effects are associations are for cancer outcomes and low birth weight. So we did look at those in Colorado and did a local study to see if there were increases in the surrounding area compared to elsewhere in Colorado. We did not find any but there was a slightly significantly higher association with, I believe, kidney cancer, but it was confounded by higher rates of smoking and obesity. So we really couldn't say anything from that study. We assisted in water data evaluation, so that was helping to interpret results of these PFAS results coming in. We also developed public health messaging that we were able to quickly put up on our website for availability to the public, to press, to anybody that was inquiring about it. They were available on our site. And also on that website, we had an interactive map for affected residents where they could go and actually click on where they lived in that affected area and find out what exact water they had been, they were being distributed. And I'll show you a screenshot of that here in a second. We also served as the health expert in public meetings and answered questions from concerned public and community members. We staffed a health question hotline that through the tracking program, we were able to kind of have like a tox call line is what we call it. So it's a number, it's a must answer line that's open during business hours that folks can call with any environmental health related question. And we did get some questions coming in through that line about these compounds. And then we are continuing to investigate the impacts on produce for those growing operations. I gotta be careful when I say that in Colorado. For those farms that were growing produce and animals. So this is a snapshot or a screenshot, excuse me, of the interactive map. We had a key here to show that, you know, blue is kind of low risk or low result of the PFAS compounds in the water, and orange was higher. This screenshot was taken at the beginning of the events. If you were to go onto this interactive map today, everything is blue. They've been able to sort of compensate for the higher level of PFAS in the water by, like I said, changing those sources. And so kind of mixing the water a different way helps keep it below the limits. Also, the community has been working diligently to get a couple filtration units set up so that they can process the water that has PFCs in it and actually filter or remove the PFAS from the drinking water, the groundwater, so that they can use that more heavily as a source instead of the surface water, which is rather expensive. So just to point out here, these different zones actually, it was a key, one of the key things here that we were able to do is work with the water systems to find out exactly what water was going to exactly which constituents. So we worked with them to create this map that actually has a lot of granularity to it. So we knew what sources of water were going to what areas according to these zones. So when somebody went to the map to click on their area, they're getting very specific information, which is not always easy to access and sometimes not always even known at the level of the water service companies. So we were glad to have their participation and to have that level of detail for information for the public. So what we learned out of this experience was that, as is always the case, communication is key. We would have liked to have had all stakeholders at the table at the beginning of this experience. Eventually, everybody was brought to the table. People like the FDA and USDA sort of came in late as we figured out what some of the complications of this contaminated water, what that meant, and what some of the questions from the public were going to be. So some of our stakeholders were involved a little bit later, and in retrospect, we wish we had everybody at the table the whole time. We happen to be very lucky that in Colorado, at the Colorado School of Mines in Golden, Colorado, there is a PFAS guru that works there and is one of the top experts on these compounds, and he was willing to help us out a ton and really provide a lot of professional expertise. And so that's a win, regardless of whether the expert is in your area or not. We definitely recommend trying to find an expert who knows a lot about this, the issue that you're dealing with when you are tackling something like this. We wanted to acknowledge that it is difficult to change standards mid-course. I'm sure several of you have had to deal with the unfortunate situation of having a level or a limit that changes and then trying to explain to people why their water was safe to drink yesterday, but it's not today. So that is a difficulty that we ran into, and to further complicate matters, we were finding that the state of Colorado, the public health department, really didn't receive information from the EPA enough in advance to really be able to prepare for questions from the public. So, for example, when the unregulated contaminant monitoring rule results went up on the internet, we sort of found out about that after a member of the press did. So, you know, you're being a little more reactionary, and we never like to be in that position. And then finally, kind of in relation to my title of this presentation, the impact of non-regulatory guidance has changed for public health. So even though we don't have rules or information telling us how to act when something is at a certain level. We still have these expectations from the public and from the people we serve as to, you know, I know that something is present, and what should I do about that, and how could that affect my health? And so as public health, we need to be increasingly aware that even though something might not have a regulation or a limit around it, we are still going to be expected and called upon to help explain these issues and talk about the health outcomes. So we need to sort of broaden our scope of what things we concern ourselves with, because even though you think, oh, that's not one of ours, it might be thrown at you. So just to kind of bring us to modern day, I did mention that the area has implemented filtration systems, and they'll be able to sort of better manage their water. In the meantime, the Air Force, not admitting guilt but being a good neighbor, pledged $4.3 million to pay for the water filters in the area and also deliver bottled water. I didn't point it out on the map. I apologize, but hopefully most of you saw that there was an Air Force base. That was something I should have pointed out. This is the likely source of those PFAS compounds, but that is not yet. That's still under investigation. And so the Air Force has been playing, you know, as a good neighbor and has definitely helped to support the community here, but there is still talk going on about what is going to continue to happen in the area. So I think we're probably going to do questions at the end. So if you have any questions, jot them down, and I'll be happy to answer them when we go to the questions.